to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're going to take a look at one of God's promises. I earlier this week debated, should I go ahead and try to continue with my sermon series, The Basics, and I immediately said, no, that's not what we need this weekend. We need something that's going to bring encouragement and comfort and strength, something that will build up our faith to get us through this weekend. And so tonight we're going to look at one of God, actually we're going to look at many of God's promises. We're going to read some together, actually. But we're going to focus on one in particular. We like God's promises, at least most of them. The reason I said at least most of them is Wednesday night we were talking about the fact that Jesus made a promise. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble. We don't usually claim that promise. It's like, we'll take whatever comes, we don't like it, but we're not going to claim. We're not going to say, Jesus, I've not had enough trouble this week, would you please send us some more? But there are so many positive promises that God makes to His people. And it's in a time like this, as we're facing this storm that is headed our way, that we cling to the promises, as we should. Because God's promises are applicable to situations like this. But I'm so glad that God's promises are applicable to everyday life. So as I was thinking about these promises, I just put a list of some of my favorite. And I want to encourage you to read them with me. They'll be on the PowerPoint, okay? We've got somebody now that can run that part of the service on the PowerPoint. But I want to encourage you to read them with me. And it may not be in a translation you're familiar with. It may be. But let's start off with Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord, read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about Psalm 46, 1-3? Can you read that with me? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Psalm 91 is great all the way through, but we're just going to read the first two verses and the last three. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 14. This is God speaking. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. One more, Isaiah 43, verses 1-3. This is again God speaking. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Some great promises from God's Word, and we're going to look at one more as our key scripture tonight. But I want to mention a couple of thoughts here to have in our mind. These promises are not for everyone. You know, there's kind of this attitude out there in the world that we live our lives however we want, and when a crisis comes, we can call out to God because God's going to take care of us. These promises that we just read, God has made to His people. To those who truly have a real relationship with Him. Not just a claimed relationship. Not just some kind of thing of like, oh, I recognize God. Now, I'm not saying that God would not do anything for people that don't truly know Him. God is sovereign and can do anything He wants. In fact, I guarantee you that over the last couple of weeks, God has sovereignly protected and helped many people that were not His children. I guarantee you over the next couple of days and weeks, whatever Hurricane Irma does, God will sovereignly do things for many people who are not His children, and He will do it in response to their prayers. So I'm not discouraging anyone from praying any of these prayers, you know, to say, oh, forget it. I might as well not do it because I've not been serving God. This is a great time to get right with God. Okay? But I can tell you that these promises that God has made are to His people. Those of us, those of you who have a relationship with God and you're committed to Him, you're not perfect yet, I'm not perfect yet, but we're trying to live for Him. We're trying to do the right thing. These promises in His Word are for us. I also want to point out the fact that the primary focus of these promises is not deliverance from all trouble, but that God will be with us, and God will support us, and God will help us. Does that mean that God won't deliver us? Sure He will. I think of the story, though, of the three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked about this Wednesday night because we were talking about Daniel. And they were told to bow down and worship the idol. And they said, we will not do that. God can deliver us. We will serve our God, and He will deliver us. And I think kind of under their breath, it's not in the text, they're saying one way or the other. But no matter what, we're going to serve God. And that's really the attitude we need to have. You know, God has promised to work in our circumstances. Many times He does deliver us. But can I tell you that most of the time, we end up going through something, and God is with us through it. You see that over and over again in Scripture. We see when God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, and they left Egypt. They left in victory, but almost immediately there were major problems. And they were backed up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was chasing him. They were boxed in. Nowhere to turn except to God. And the Bible indicates that God did it on purpose. And He delivered them through the Red Sea. A path they never thought that they would take. And that became their greatest story of God's victory in their lives. But like many stories like that, it was great to look back on, but it wasn't a whole lot of fun to live through. Y'all got stories like that, right? Stories of when you look back and see what God did, hallelujah, but you wouldn't want to live through it again. As I mentioned, the three young men going through the fiery furnace, I think of Daniel in the lion's den. God delivered him, but He didn't deliver him from the lion's den, He delivered him through the lion's den. I think of Paul, traveling by boat. He's in chains. He's going to Rome. And a terrible, terrible storm and a shipwreck. They lost everything but their lives, but God had promised them, I will take you through. Now, I am not in any way, please don't take what I'm saying here in any way like I'm trying to be a prophet or I'm saying we're all going to experience all kinds of devastating, terrible things the next couple of days, but God's going to take us through. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that whatever God lets us go through the next couple of days, and hopefully it won't be much, He's let us go through it because He's got a reason, and He's promised that He will be with us, He will support us, and He will help us. But we do pray for the deliverance, don't we? Make the damage, make whatever it is, as minimal as possible. And we trust God for what He brings. The title of what I want to share with you today is My God is with Me. And this is the thought that I want you to get into your souls. I don't want you to get into your souls that my God's going to keep me from suffering any kind of harm or any kind of loss. Maybe He will. It's certainly appropriate to pray that. But we don't know about that part of it. But we can know that our God will be with us. There's no doubt about that. We know that's His will. My God is with me. And the text we're going to be looking at is another one of my favorite promises, Isaiah 41:10. When God is speaking to His people. Now, it's very important when you look at a promise to make sure it applies to you. Okay? There's many promises God gave in Scripture to specific people or to a specific nation or under certain circumstances. I could take 5 or 10 minutes and explain to you why I believe this promise is for us today. I just ask you to take my word for it. And that is that God is speaking to His people, in this case, Israel. But because of the principles involved, I believe that this promise also applies to us today. Because we see it repeated over and over again to His people, the church. But in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And there's some promises in here that we want to claim, and I want to challenge you and encourage you to claim them. In fact, I encourage you, if you've not already memorized this passage, it's a really short one, you might want to memorize it by tomorrow night. Not because it's a magic formula, not because if you say it enough, God will steer the storm away, but because it will increase your faith and it will help you in those moments when perhaps fear tries to creep in, when doubt tries to creep in, when it seems like, God, are you really with me in this closet or wherever it is that your last resort is, okay? Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, in the midst of these promises, there are two commands. Two commands. God says, "Fear not," and "Do not be dismayed," or "Do not be discouraged," is some way some translations put it. You know, God often tells His people not to fear. And can I tell you that God doesn't mean it to just be a suggestion? It's actually a command. Now, I'm not saying that you're sinning terribly if a little fear creeps in. But I believe that God does not want us to be overcome by fear. And I believe that when that fear begins to creep in, God wants us to combat it with His promises. And God says, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. So He commands us, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Now, the question would rise then, is there really a good reason to do that? You know, God says, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Is there a good reason for us to take God at His word? Well, sure there is. If we truly believe in God and that He is the way He portrays Himself in Scripture, then we certainly can take Him at His word, because we know from God's word what great power and abilities that He has to keep His promises to us. You know, if I was just standing up here talking to you tonight without this promise and just saying, hey, listen, on the basis of my authority, don't worry about whatever we're going to face the next couple of days. Y'all be like, okay, what authority or what power do you have to make a difference over the next couple of days? And I would have none. But I'm not telling you this in my authority or on the basis of any power that I have. I'm telling you this on the basis of the promise of God's word, that God has promised to be with us and to take care of us. The background to this passage, and you can go home and read this for yourself tonight or tomorrow from the beginning of the chapter, we see that God's people are concerned because of unsettling events that are happening in the world around them. Do you think you can relate to that? And as we read verses 1 to 9, which we're not going to do during the course of this message, we see God described in many different ways. We see God described as the judge of all the earth, as the ruler of all rulers and the controller of nations, as the one who calls everything into being, and as the one who takes care of His people. I'm so glad that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? When we get down to verses 8 and 9, the two right before the verse we're looking at, we see God addressing His people. He says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off." God is speaking to His nation. But can I tell you that every one of those descriptions apply to us because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, as we celebrated communion just a little while ago. We also are God's servant. We also have been chosen. We also have the privilege of being called God's friend. He took us from the ends of the earth, from wherever we were, and called us from His farthest corners. And He chose us and did not cast us off. Jesus did all that for us through Jesus Christ. So I want to take a look at these promises that God made to His people. I want them to get into our soul, into our spirit. Like I said, this verse is probably not unfamiliar to most all of you in this place, but I hope that God brings it fresh to our minds tonight to just encourage and strengthen us over the next couple of days. So let's take a look at God's promises to His people. God's promises to His people. In this verse, first of all, we see it says that God is with me. I want you to make it personal. God is with me. Okay, God is with me. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." It reminds me of the story of her mother talking to her son. It's getting a little bit late at night. He's getting ready to go to bed. And she says, "Son, would you get my broom off the back porch?" He says, "Okay." He goes to flip the light for the back porch, and the light won't come on. It's burnt out. And he tells his mom, he says, "I don't want to go out there." She says, "Why not? Just go out and get the broom. It's just right out there." He says, "It's kind of scary." She says, "Don't be afraid." He says, I don't. She says, "Don't worry about it. Jesus is out there." So he opens the door and he says, "Jesus, would you hand me the broom?" Well, I don't think Jesus handed him the broom, but she was right. Jesus was out there. He didn't have to be afraid. Jesus is there. But in the same way, in what way is God with us? Psalm 23:4. We just read that a few moments ago. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" God is with me. And as I said, we would prefer that God's word tells us that as a result of our relationship with Him, that God will not let anything bad happen to us or our family or our belongings or anything else. But the truth of the matter is that God is with us no matter what we face, but sometimes we're going to face some difficulties. You know, the great promises that we read, it even insinuates that. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Why would that be a problem if God's not going to let us go through the valley of the shadow of death? It indicates that God may sometimes allow us to go through what seems to be the valley of the shadow of the death, but He's going to be with us. You know, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." How can God be our help in trouble unless we're in trouble? Not that we want it, not that we invite it, not that we ask for it. But there will be times we will be in trouble. But the promise is that God is with us. You know, one of my favorite ones, it says here, he says, "I will be with him in trouble again." Why would he make that promise if we weren't going to sometimes face trouble? And then that other one that we mentioned, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." Great promise. The only way we experience the fulfillment, though, is if sometime we go through the waters and through the rivers and through the fire. But the promise is that God is with me. The second promise he makes in this verse is that God is my God. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Now, we may be so used to the fact that, you know, of course God's my God. I surrendered my life to Him. I know He sent Jesus to die for me. And, you know, I've asked Him to be my Savior, my Lord. He's my God. That's great. But I want you to think about this way this is worded. This isn't just Isaiah saying, "God is my God." This is God saying that we are His people. It's a very subtle but significant difference there. Think about the significance that God is claiming us. It's not just we who are claiming Him, but God is claiming us. Look at it this way. What if I were to tell you, "Listen, by the way, President Trump is a really close friend of mine." Now, you might would believe me, hopefully, if you know me well, and I was saying it in all seriousness, you would believe me because you think I'm a person of integrity, but you might wonder, is he joking? Is he President Trump? Really? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But if you are watching the news and President Trump is making an announcement and he says, "Oh, and by the way, I just want to say hi to my friend Tim McIntyre, lives in Ocala, Florida." Totally different perspective. If he claims I'm his friend, that's different from me saying, "Well, I'm a good friend of President Trump." You see what I'm saying? Now, there is great value to the fact that we can say, "God is my God." But what the value is when God says, "He is my child. She is my child. She is mine. He is mine. God is my God. This is a personal word. God is a personal God. And this is by His confession, not just ours. We not only claim Him, He claims us. The third promise we have here is God will strengthen me. God will strengthen me. It says, fear not, be not dismayed, for I will strengthen you. You know, we probably all have family members and friends who would do anything that they could, who would be willing to do whatever they could do to help us. And if we go through anything this weekend that we need help, there will be many people, I'm sure, family members, friends, maybe even some strangers say, hey, I'll help however you can. And we want to be able to help. We want to be ready and available to help anybody that needs any kind of help after this whole thing is over with. But as you know, many times there are people who are ready and willing to help, but there's not anything that they can really do. For example, if you have a plumbing problem, you don't want to call me for help. I would love to help you. I can help you mop up the water. You know that, but forget about trying to fix some kind of plumbing thing. If you need an electrical situation taken care of, you don't want to call me. I mean, I'll pray for you. I can come help, but I can't do anything electrical. You know, I could list so many categories where I'm useless. But you know what? That's not where God's at. It's not like God is sitting up in heaven. He said, I'd really like to help you. I love you. I care about you, but there's not really much I can do. God can do anything. God can do anything. God will help me. But sometimes we hesitate to truly trust Him. It reminds me of the story of the man who went out for a walk all by himself. Out in the mountains, and he's walking along, and he's really enjoying himself, and he gets a little bit too close to the edge of a cliff. And he falls over, but fortunately, about 15 feet down, he grabs hold of this bush. It's growing out of the side of the cliff, and he looks down, and it's about 200 yards down. There's no place to put his feet. There's no place for him to reach any further. He's just hanging onto the bush, and he's hollering for dear life, help me! Help me! And very shortly, he hears a voice from up above, and that voice says, I'll help you. He's like, thank you, thank you. What do you want me to do? The voice says, just let go. And he says, what? So I'll help you. Just let go. And so the guy says, who is this? And the voice says, this is God. Just let go. And the guy stops for a second or two. He says, is there anybody else up there? You know, you see, the thing is we know we can trust God. We believe we can trust God. God's word says we can trust Him. But when it really comes down to it, we wonder. We wonder. We need to trust God because God's promise, He will help me. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 121:1-2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? Or from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the fifth and last promise we have here is God will uphold me. God will uphold me. He says in this verse, fear not, be not dismayed, for I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What does that mean? It means that God will be there to give us the strength we don't have. God will be there to support us when we feel like we have no support left. God will be there to encourage us when we're discouraged. God will be there that when we've given everything we've got to give and it's not enough, that He'll make up the difference. I remember many years ago going to my wife's family's home for Thanksgiving. They get together every Thanksgiving for a big family meal. And this was back when Pastor Jan's grandmother was still alive. She's been with the Lord now for quite a while. And she was in a facility, in a place that was taking care of her. And me and Jan's uncle went to go pick up her grandmother. And so we went there, and she was still able to get out and about and come be with the family. But we had to help her with everything. We had to help her out of the room, down the steps. Well, she was actually in a wheelchair. Had to help her into the wheelchair, out of the wheelchair, into the car. Drove to where the family was meeting. We had to help her out of the car, put her back into a wheelchair, take her inside. People had to help her with everything. Everybody was overjoyed that she was there. But she needed help with everything. And I just can't help but think that when it says that God will uphold me, I was thinking of me and Jan's uncle. His name's Ken. How we each got on either side of her grandmother, and we were there to uphold her, to give her that strength, that support. She was trying her hardest, doing what she could, but she needed someone to uphold her. And that's what God promises to do for us. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24 says, "The step of a man are established by the Lord, and when he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." You know, when you feel like you can't handle it and you can't go on, God's there. God's there. I want to read one more passage of Scripture before we wrap this all up. I know I've had a lot of Scripture in here, but I want to tell you something. That is where our assurance comes from. That is where the foundation is strong that we can stand upon, is God's Word. Let me read to you Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. It starts off with spiritual things, but then it broadens into, I believe, every single area of life. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Now, that means all things we need, not everything on our wish list. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?" It's God who justifies. He says, who's going to accuse you before God? God's already on your side. God's already paid the greatest price to save you and to take care of you. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, and he's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He says, who's going to cause you trouble at the throne of God? Jesus is standing right there saying, I died for him. I died for her. They're mine. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can't tell you what you may be facing in the next couple of days, in the next week. I don't know what we're going to be facing in the next couple of days, in the next week. But I can tell you that as you trust in him, God is with you. And God will help you. And God will support you. And God will undergird you. God will strengthen you. God will uphold you. There's so many different words that could be used and are used in God's Word that God will be there for you. Just make sure that God is your God. It's not a threat. It's not like God's sending the storm just to get your attention, but I believe he'd love to use it to get your attention if your attention needs to be got. That's probably not good English, but that's okay. If you are not right with God tonight, make sure that you are. Not to try to save yourself from anything that may come your way this weekend, not just to do that anyway, but because you know it's the right thing to do, and you know he loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. So no matter what we face in the future, and today, tonight, we're thinking about Hurricane Irma. But as we look down the road, whether we're facing situations where he's asking us to share our faith with someone we know it may be difficult, or if we know that we're going to be taking a test in school, or we have some other kind of test coming at us in life, when we have to deal with sin and habits, if we have to leave a secure position to take a risk in some new venture, or God's called us to do something and we're not sure if we can handle it, if we're facing a health issue or a treatment or an illness, if we may lose someone, whatever the future might hold, this is what God says. Fear not, I am with you. I'm by your side. Fear not, I am your God over you. Fear not, I will strengthen you from the inside. Fear not, I will help you from all around you. No matter what direction your enemy or an obstacle or a circumstance may come at you, I will help you from all around you. And fear not, I will uphold you from underneath you. Think about the dimensions here. God is by you, over you, inside you, around you, underneath you. Therefore, do not fear. we can rest on the promises of God. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.